Hello, welcome to Bitch Slapped. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana, and we are here again.
It's 30 degrees out. No, sorry, 90 degrees out.
What? I was like 30. What, like Celsius?
Yeah, maybe.
It's 30 degrees Celsius out, and here we are.
Yeah, I just had to give the weather report, since we always do that.
Did you watch the World Cup this weekend?
No. Did you?
I did. And now, I started betting on...
Oh my God.
Because my boyfriend like runs a little pool. It was like $20, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not like losing my house and home. No, I lost. But it makes it much more interesting. It's like, so I get why guys like sports now, because it's so much more fun when you like have a stake in the game.
Right.
Because I'm always like, why do you care? You're not on the team. Like,
right.
Whatever.
Right. You are on the team, and the team is your own wallet.
Get
more money.
Right. It's like exciting to like, you're like really rooting for a team when you have like something to like gain or lose from it.
Right. I think it's like, do guys have like a gambling budget? Like, do they say like, okay, this year I'm gonna like, I know that I'm gonna, you know, put 10K into betting.
I think they might. They probably, it's probably like entertainment, if you think about it. Like
you have a travel budget. You have a gambling budget.
It's kind of annoying because my boyfriend spends like every Sunday in the fall, he's watching football. Right.
Yeah.
And he like has money on all these games, and he like bets something, he and his friends like bet on all these games, and part of me is like, oh, like this seems like a lot of money. But then I think about it, like if you're spending like hours and hours on this every season, it's like entertainment. Like, you would, how much would you pay for like to be entertained for that long? For like, you think about a movie is like $15 for like every hour and a half.
If it were like a big part of my life that I've been doing for a long time, and I was like, when all my friends did it, yeah, I would probably think it was normal and do it. But now I'm like, okay, I'm so happy that I don't have to like set aside a set amount of money so that I can like
but
gamble.
Maybe sometimes you like win more money,
right? But I think that like in general, like statistically
probably, but then again, so I'm saying you statistically probably lose a little, but it's also like you're getting all those hours of entertainment,
right? You're paying for the entertainment and the camaraderie and the discussion, and
right,
like,
it's like a huge part of your life,
right? Like if there's like one friend in the group who doesn't want to be part of the betting pool, like right, he probably like, feels like really left out.
What are
out.
They gonna do? Like,
they could just watch the game and see who wins.
But it's so right. I hate watching sports, but like when this game, I was like so into it. It gave me a whole new perspective. We should bet on like things like, girls should bet on things like Real Housewives,
right?
Something.
Well, that was like in college when I had the idea that you should trade celebrities like stocks, and you should like have a certain amount on a celebrity. So Justin Bieber, you could buy a stock in Justin Bieber,
like,
and then when he gets engaged, his stock goes up and your amount of fake money goes up. I think
right
like a celebrity market
before the season, you could have like all this, like you get a point every time like Dorinda says, gets like, it does intelligible slurring during the thing,
right.
And then you're like much more excited to watch
or Dorinda could be a stock like a Pepsi, you know, and when she gets more Instagram endorsements, her stock value goes up. Or when she gets kicked off the Housewives, well, you know, there could be a lot of money in it. Think about how much money fantasy sports makes. Like, you could just do that for, you'd basically just be doing the same thing for women.
We have to revolutionize the reality TV industry to make it more lucrative.
It wouldn't just be reality TV, it'd be all celebrities. So it would probably include athletes. I had this idea in college, but like, obviously.
All right. Well, no one take it.
No one take it. No one's
watching. Okay. Let's do the kind of boring, but not that boring news. Mandy Moore apparently is getting back into music.
That's great. I like Mandy Moore a lot.
I think she's like a little annoying. I don't watch This Is Us.
I don't either.
But I feel like she was like, she originally started as a singer. Then she got into like the movies, went to the Center Stage song.
Okay. When I say I like Mandy Moore a lot, I like what my vision of her was in like the year 2000. I haven't thought about
her. Like a walk to remember?
I haven't thought about her in 15 years. Yeah.
Okay.
But I did like her.
I feel like she kind of like is the same age, but she's definitely much older, obviously.
She's very pretty. And I think she's like from a different time. She's like very like.
The times of yore.
Yeah. Like she's very late 90s, early 2000s to me. Like
apparently
I picture
she's
her
back,
with like
though.
Platform Steve Madden sneakers. Yeah, she's back if you watch This Is Us, which I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't really watch This Is Us either, but she's coming back. What was like Sweet Like Candy? Was she like, I'm missing
craving
you, like,
for you. I'm missing you like candy.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get another banger like that.
A banger. Right, like she was very pure.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't really fit in with the Demi Lovatos and the.
Is she married? Does she have kids? What's been going on with her?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with her. I guess we'll find out now that she's back in the spotlight.
Our other thing,
another MM girl.
Another, oh wow, it's the big it's a big week for the MMs.
Yeah.
So Meghan Markle's dad had like gave like an interview to The Sun where he like was talking all this shit about Meghan Markle, shot in a non-shocking twist of events. Mm-hmm. So let's read some of these quotes and then we can comment on them.
Okay. Jordana typed them out, so I'll read. We can switch off.
Okay, go.
My thing about my daughter right now is that I think she is terrified. I see it in her eyes. I see it in her face. And I see it in her smile. I've seen her smile for years. I know her smile. I don't like the one I'm seeing now. This one isn't even a stage smile. This is a pained smile. Should we read them all or should we analyze them one by one?
Let's read them all because I feel like they're all kind of similar.
Okay.
Meghan seems like something out of an old movie.
I think Meghan is deeper than I am.
Anyone who makes a profit off the royal family becomes shunned, but I could have made well over $100,000 by just doing a talk show. So if I moved to London and started selling cups with my daughter's face on them, would they shun me?
The royal family is living by rules that are outdated.
Fair. Half of Great Britain seems to make a fortune selling pictures of my daughter and her husband. Are they shunned?
The phone number I call, it doesn't work anymore. There's no address I can write to. I have no way of contacting her.
I think I had a heart attack. Doesn't anybody care? I could actually die soon. Does she want this to be the last thing we've said to each other? It's probably the longest time I have gone without speaking to her ever.
Okay, so this is one of those times when, like, I feel like credibility is a big, like, I don't know enough about Meghan Markle's dad or her even to be like, oh, he's right and she's obviously fake as shit, or right, he's abusive all emotionally and she's right. Exactly. So I don't know, but I have my own judgments about Meghan Markle.
Right.
And
you agree with her dad?
I don't personally. I don't want to say I 100% agree with her dad, but like I see where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. And so I was even before I knew we were going to talk about this today, this morning, I happened to be stalking the royal family Instagram account at Kensington Royal, if you guys are interested.
Oh, it's like the official one?
The official one.
Okay.
And I was analyzing Kate and Meghan, obviously. And I was thinking, I was like, what is it that like, there's nothing for me to like really put my finger on that I don't like about Meghan Markle. Like, there's not one specific thing where I'm like, oh, I don't like how she does this, or I don't like the way she does this. Like, it all seems very fine. But I sort of look at her and I'm like, she reminds me of a certain prototype of a person that I know, which is, I know probably maybe like two or three people who I would put in this category where it's like, they're very beloved, like on the externals.
Right.
And they seem very, they come across as very nice and very friendly and very like kind and very like sweet and smiley.
And you think it's bullshit.
But I don't think it's total bullshit. I believe that they are like 90% like this. Mm-hmm. But then I see that there's this part where they like want everyone to think they don't want anyone to see that 10%, and so the pain that they go to hide that 10% creates like this fakeness,
right,
that then kind of like
they're very image concerned,
clearly. Yeah, it's not that like anyone has to be 100% of all these things, like I'm very far from those things, but what I'm saying is like that piece that they like want to cover up that's not perfect, that's like that's pleasing people, it comes across as fake, and it's like, okay, like I don't really trust you, like I don't trust that, because you can't like let a little, you can't let that imperfect piece of yourself show. Mm-hmm. So that creates a distrust,
right,
and it comes across as fake, or I don't know,
as opposed to who's not like that. You think like Kate Middleton is not like that?
Yeah, I think Kate Middleton's not like that. I think more people, it's like they're not trying to cover up the part of them that's
okay. So you think she's like a little manipulative?
Okay. Yeah. Right. Like, okay, like Jojo Fletcher is an example of someone who doesn't try to cover. Like, she comes across as all those like
great, you're saying, nice things. She comes across as genuine, not like a little full of shit.
It's not that it's not that Meghan Markle, I believe, is totally full of shit. Like, I don't think that it's all fake. Right. I think that there is a piece that's imperfect, and rather than like letting that be acknowledged, she wants to like overcompensate for it,
right,
and that makes me uneasy. I don't trust people who don't like want to show.
I think the thing with her, I mean, like there's obviously a lot more that's going on in this like family relationship that is being like conveyed or shown. Like, clearly the dad and her have like some other issues that go like way back. Like, he wasn't at her wedding because of this like heart thing, but also probably because like they like banned him from it. He's like, she's like not speaking to him, which like are all signs of like there's definitely more shit to this story that no one is talking about. And right, like that to me is the most intriguing part. Not only the shit that he's saying, because he sounds like he's like very bitter and angry. And I actually didn't think the like the tabloids. I mean, like, obviously the royal family has a lot of rules and they are very outdated. But I didn't think that him posing for the tabloid pictures was like that fucked up. I thought, like, I think if you're like, if you're not like super wealthy and someone's like, look, I'm going to take pictures of you anyway. Like, if you want, like, we'll pay you and like, you can make the pictures look like however you want them to look. Like, I think a lot of people would take that. I don't think that's like so crazy.
Right. Well, okay. Here's the thing is that because there is obviously,
do you think like, he's only talking to the son because she won't answer his phone calls?
I don't know. I have a feeling that he might do it anyway,
mm-hmm.
or he might not. I don't know. It depends. Okay, this is the thing. This is the 10% of her that she's not like giving into. It's like, okay, you obviously have some sort of dysfunction in your family,
right?
And just that's fine.
Talk about it.
Just you don't have to reveal everything, but acknowledging that it's dysfunctional. Right,
she's just pretending nothing's happening.
Right, instead of pretending that this isn't the situation and that it's like all her dad just being crazy. It's like, what, like, just be like, yes, I have a strained relationship with my family. We don't have the easiest past.
Right.
And that's it. And that would make me be like, okay.
Right. Because there's like, nothing worse. Right. Because the truth is like refreshing. It makes you feel like at ease. When someone's like pretending that something is a different way, it, one, causes more speculation, and two, makes you think that they're full of shit.
Right.
It's like, if you could just like say what's real, even if it's not positive, like everyone will like respect you more.
Or you don't even have to give all the details, like,
right, you don't have to give all the details. But you could give like, but you could give a summarized version of like what the fuck is going on,
or
because this makes you, I don't know,
or just say like, I don't come from this perfect family, like just say maybe something.
She's not allowed to say anything like that.
Maybe she's not, but like, I think that there are things that you could say that are like quite PC, mm-hmm. like. And you know what? If the royal family's like, the royal family is dysfunctional too. They are extra dysfunctional. They're more dysfunctional probably even than Meghan's own family. So this whole thing where they're like acting like we don't acknowledge dysfunction, we pretend like nothing's wrong. It's very British. But here's the thing, it doesn't make the dad look worse, in my opinion. It makes the dad look more honest,
right,
and her look less honest.
Yeah, I need to know what's going on with that. I feel like there is a lot. There's definitely some like stuff going on. I don't know what it is. It's kind of,
well, now here's what
makes
me want to
know a lot more.
Here's what we can analyze. I do think that she probably is probably is like stressed. Like, think how stressful it must be that you have to like look perfect all the time. You have to like smile. I watched like a video on the Kensington account.
Especially if you're not like a Kate Middleton who's like already been in that eye for like
a
while.
Plus she's British.
Right.
So there's a cultural divide.
And it's also with Meghan Markle, people are just like waiting for her to fuck up.
Yeah. I was watching.
I read some article that said that like she tried to hold his hand in like public or something, and he like kind of swatted her away.
He Melania'd her.
Yeah. Because like the royals are like not supposed to do that or something.
Right.
They're not supposed to like touch or like show affection in public.
Right. Okay. So if that's one that you know,
mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that there's probably a ton of things that she's like, oh,
faux
shit,
pas.
I didn't sign up for that, and she's probably really nervous,
right,
about what she's,
especially since
fuck
they got
up.
Married. Okay, with Kate Middleton, she was dating William for like what, like eight years, something,
yeah,
like that before that. So she like, before she got married, she fully knew like what she was like getting into.
She
has spent enough time around that family to like, and like being British and being like upper class British person, like probably had some idea. Meghan Markle
also,
is like,
Kate also started dating him when she was like 18 or 19. So that they grew up together, and like she could have at any point in those 8 or so years, she could have been like, you know what, I know what I'm getting into, and I choose that I don't like it.
Right.
So anything she doesn't like about it, she's like just accepting. Like when you date your boyfriend, you're like, oh, I know that you have these things about you,
and I can choose to like accept this about you, or I can leave.
Right.
Right.
Didn't date that long, Meghan and Harry.
And they got married in their like honeymoon stage. So it's like they've known each other, what, a year and a half?
I think 2 years.
Maybe, sure.
Right, right. So they're still in the honeymoon stage, so they don't know, and they're older. They're both older.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not the same.
Right,
as
she already,
like,
has her whole life as this other person.
Right, exactly. Like, she thinks she's 36, so I'm sure around, she's older than us. She's, like, almost 10 years older than us, and I think about how I feel, like, fairly established as, like, myself. Like, I feel like I know myself, like, pretty well at this age, and that, like, at age 36, I imagine I'll be even more entrenched in who I am. So she's like entrenched in who she is. And then she's entering this new situation where you have to act 24/7 in a certain way. And there's probably things that get sprung on you. Like, she's literally taking etiquette lessons to exist.
Right.
You know?
That sounds like shitty. But I think she kind of wanted this. I feel like she's pretending like, oh, like, I just kind of like fell into this like royal family thing. And like, Harry and I are just like, I just met this guy who was like so nice and we just fell in love and he happens to be British. Like, that is a bullshit story. That's how I knew she was full of shit from the beginning, because like, no one thinks of it like that. Right. No one, like, that's a bullshit like love story. Like, no, it wasn't that like someone just introduced you to this nice guy who happened to be the Prince of England.
Right. Like, right.
That's not really what's going on here.
Also, no one experiences things.
She clearly
that
like
way.
I'm saying she clearly like wanted this. There's like manipulative, and if she had just said that, like, I've always been like kind of a fan of the British family, and then like I somehow got introduced to Prince Harry and I was like,
yeah. Or if she was like, you know, it was a big decision whether I wanted to, like, it's not just about dating him as a human being, it's about choosing, do I want this life? And if she had said like, oh, I thought about it, I really gave it some serious introspection to see if it would be right for me, and I, even though I know that it's new and unfamiliar for me, I choose that I want to be with him, and therefore I want this.
Right.
Like, she doesn't acknowledge anything outside of the fairy tale. And,
well, I think that's like a royalty thing too. It's like, talk about the royal family being outdated. It's like, that kind of shit doesn't really fly anymore, where you're just, everything is just like completely fake. Like, Americans don't really like put up with that shit.
Right. And she's American.
Right.
So, okay. Should we take a quick break before we do some emails?
Yeah, we'll be right back.
We have to tell you guys about this amazing new service that we found. It's called Framebridge. They make it really easy and affordable to frame your favorite things, like art prints and posters, but also like travel pics if you're taking them, like couples pics or pranks with your friends that you want to like put in a frame, decorate your apartment.
Yeah, amazing to decorate with.
And basically, here's how it works. You go to framebridge.com and you upload your picture, or they'll send you packaging to safely mail in the actual physical pieces. You preview the item online, any frame style, choose your favorite, or get recommendations from like one of their designers who are very talented. And their expert team will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door and ready to hang.
Instead of like the hundreds you could pay at like a framing store, the prices at Framebridge start at $39, and all of their shipping is absolutely free. Plus, for all of you guys, you'll get 15% off your first order at framebridge.com when you use our code BETCHES. So that's BETCHES. So that's like really, really exciting. And I've personally tried to get my stuff framed before I heard of Framebridge, and it's really, really expensive. And this is actually 10 billion times easier.
It's one of those things they don't tell you about being an adult.
I know, it's really though. And it makes life so much easier. And like, you get to sort of go through so many different options that they have, like so many different types of frames, that it'll match your pictures. I've printed stuff from Instagram. I've printed stuff from like family photos. And so it's really, really amazing.
It makes experience. It really easy.
Yeah.
Go to framebridge.com and use promo code BETCHES. You'll save an additional 15% off your first order. That's framebridge.com, promo code BETCHES. Framebridge.com, promo code BETCHES.
Hi.
Okay.
We're back.
Okay. We have our first email. Should I read it?
Yes.
Dear BETCHES. No, I just have a lot of feelings.
Okay. Dear BETCHES, I'm recently graduated with degrees in fashion merchandising and French. You sound very chic. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the few lucky ones that graduated with a job immediately after graduation. It's for a sports apparel gear retailer, and I'm able to save money living at home while learning a lot that will be applicable to my future career. I've been here for about a month now, and while I couldn't be more grateful for my situation, I just know it's not my place. Lately, I've been feeling really stuck and increasingly unhappy. It's not fashion, and I don't find passion in the brand or products. There are no external factors negatively affecting me, like mean coworkers, stressful tasks. It's a me problem. I don't know when the most appropriate time to start looking for a job is, or how long I should tough it out at this company. Fashion is competitive, I know, and I'm having trouble getting my pinky toe in the door. I would love some insight on the best ways to network from way outside the industry when I should even start looking. P.S. All your podcasts get me through the days. I would go crazy without them. Sincerely, fresh out of college, Betch.
Okay.
This is the perfect question for those who would like some career advice, which you can also get in our book that is coming out in October called When's Happy Hour? Work Hard So You Can Hardly Work.
Yeah, we'll give all advice on this kind of thing and like just basically all non-boring and boring facets of work life, and we will answer them in an entertaining way. So you guys should check out our book. I think you can pre-order it. If not now, then very soon.
on Amazon or on anywhere. Amazon. Okay, so this girl and her issue. Start looking. Just go.
Yeah, I think like when you have your first, that's kind of like what your first job is for. Like very few people just like stay at their first job that they get after college. It's kind of like just almost like trial and error. You're supposed to just like try things out until you find something that's better. That's kind of what summer internships are also for. I feel like because yeah. like what are the chances that the first job you have, you're just like, oh, like this is amazing. Like this is definitely what I want to do forever.
Yeah. I mean, I also think that, okay, so there's like that sort of like you have to stay at a job for 1 year for it to count, quote unquote. I don't know if that applies in such a situation here because you could just say, I got this job at this company. I realized that although it is good experience, it doesn't actually align with my passions and it's not fulfilling me. I'm looking to explore something that's more fulfilling, more aligned with, that is aligned with what I studied in school and what I'm personally interested in. And I think employers will hear that and know that you're young and inexperienced. And for an right. entry-level job, they're not expecting you to have this like broad experience.
And being that you're young, I think the best way to get your pinky toe in the door is to kind of just take a very like entry-level lower job like in a company that you think you would be really passionate about. Like you're not going to get like a great like amazing high-level job obviously in fashion. That's like, especially fashion doesn't particularly pay
right
that well, especially starting out.
Or so, if you like a brand, you could just be, it doesn't even have to be a fashion position, you could be an assistant.
Right, that's and what then, I'm saying. Oh, like I would just like, that's your foot in the door, then you do a really amazing job and you get noticed at these companies. That's like, I feel like the best way to get into any industry that you want that seems like an intimidating industry where it's like hard to like rise to the top. It's like you just have to take like the lowest job that you can get there and just like prove yourself.
Yeah. And in terms of networking, maybe if you know someone, I mean, the best way to network, I wouldn't just show up at a random like fashion event. Like right. I don't see that being the most welcoming crowd, first of all. And second of all, I would maybe start with someone, you know, maybe, you know, someone from college or from high school. Maybe they were like in your sorority or something and they work in, or someone, yeah, maybe you have like an alumni network.
Right. You start with like your very personal network and then like kind of go out from there. Like the closest that you can get to you is the best, because those people actually feel like they like, oh, they like happy, oh, to do, happy to do you a favor, or like we'll put you in. Even think about like your friends, if your friends' parents, like yeah. that kind of thing. I always think of that as like sort of an untapped resource, like someone you grew up with that kind of like likes you, that might have like an in, is always a good move. Those general networking events, I mean, I guess they could work, but I feel like generally speaking, there's too many people there for anyone to really care about you.
Yeah, no.
You want to start with like the most personal you possibly can.
The parents' friends are huge. The amount of people who contact us through my mother is right? like absurd. It's like, mom, you have
right,
to
she's like
stop.
The gateway. Like, you That's have what I'm saying.
Say no. Yeah, no.
Someone who feels like they like are a little obligated.
Yeah, I'm never not going to answer someone who my mom puts me in touch with. Like,
right,
it's just rude.
It's like rude.
Right. Okay. So I would just reach for people that you know. Try to go in, get into those companies that you want to be in, even if it's not the job you want, and just be willing to take anything as long as it's closer to what right. you want.
The key is to like again get in like low level, work really really hard, and then like you can grow in the company.
Yes. Next email.
Hi, Batches. I was wondering if we could touch more on the whole boyfriend's not being ready for marriage thing. I've been dating my boyfriend for 3 years, and things are pretty serious. We lived together for a year and a half before he decided to join the military, and living together went very well. We often talk about our future together, kids' names, and how we want to be together forever. Obviously, we have fights and stuff, but we are always able to work through them and grow together. I thought him leaving and joining the military would make things a lot harder, and in some ways it has, but in other ways it brought us closer together. I feel like we've learned to appreciate each other more and saw how we kind of were taking our relationship for granted. Anyway, I'm really trying hard not to be that couple that just gets married for military benefits, because obviously it's not a great reason to get married. No, we're not that military couple right out of high school. The stereotype proved itself to be so true when I went to the boot camp graduation and met so many baby brides. But I feel like I want to marry him anyway, and it really would make a lot of things much easier, like getting into base to see him. He would get more money for having a dependent. I could go wherever he does, etc. When I went to visit him last weekend and brought this all up, he told me he just wasn't ready and likes where we are right now. Okay, what the fuck does this actually mean? Some background and info on us. I'm 25, he's 24. I have my degree in social work. I know we care too much, as you all stated, and Nice is just a place in France. But I have a job and I can pretty much support myself. At least as much as a social worker can in this ass backwards society. I don't need his benefits or anything like that. But like I said above, it would still make some things easier, and I really do want to marry him. To touch on what you guys said in your podcast last week, I've never had much of an interest in the big wedding with all the Insta pics and attention. In fact, the thought of having a big wedding makes me gives me serious anxiety. And until I fell in love with him, I wasn't totally sold on the whole marriage concept. I've told him I'm fine with and would actually prefer a courthouse wedding and a cheaper ring for now while we work our way up and find our bearings. I really just love him and want to be with him forever, but I'm starting to do that girl freak out thing and I don't know if I need to chill the fuck out or if this is a cause for concern. What do you guys think? Is the social conditioning I've fallen into, is it a social construct to think women mature faster than men and are ready for these life events sooner? I'm too much in my head now. I don't want to be a girl who pressures her boyfriend into marrying her when he's not ready. I want him to want to marry me, but what's this excuse of not being ready for marriage? Is it even an excuse or does it actually hold some weight? How does one know they're ready? Is this an excuse? Should I chill out and cut him some slack? Please advise. Sincerely, Bachelorette Betch.
I like this girl. She seems pretty self-aware.
She does seem self-aware. I would tell her, like, you're trying to get a 24-year-old guy to, like, marry you, like, immediately is, like, not necessarily, like,
the best move.
The move. Plus, like, it sounds like you. It sounds like I think somewhere where the military is relatively larger, I would imagine. Right. I think dating in the military is much, from what I've heard. I don't really, like, know a ton of people from what I've heard. It's like those people get married a lot younger because you can, like,
get benefits and
you
stuff.
Can get benefits and they can like live with you on the base, like they have to, like you get housing and like they
right
what, there's a lot of benefits to getting married earlier. That being said, you don't want to get married early because of benefits. You like, right, I think that you're not like that.
Here's the thing, we say that because we don't understand what it's like to be with someone in the military, but it's a different life than right. what we're used
I
to.
I totally
it's
not understand
like
that
we live in our apartments and we go to our jobs, like they have a different situation, mm-hmm. like where they're away from their families for a long time, so I actually feel like for them getting married is like more necessary,
right?
Not just for the benefits.
I get that, but I think if someone's not ready at this point, I don't think there's that you should do much to like be like convincing them at this point either. It's a really, really big commitment. You want both people to be like really sure and really excited about it.
Yeah, you don't like imagine if you convinced him and then the next day, like, or you know, just the
right,
like,
you don't want someone like on the, you don't want someone getting married to you because they're on the fence.
Or they're like, okay, fine, she's like making me do it sooner than I thought.
Right. I think also like you guys are young, so like you'll have you might be a different person in like a couple years. He's like just in this military situation, like maybe he'll be like that'll change him in certain ways. Like you don't necessarily want to make a lifetime commitment, which is what marriage is, without like being a totally 100% sure. And you want it, yeah, the benefits are great, but you also want it to be about like more than that.
Right. And I'm not sure where I want to weigh in here on if it's an excuse or not, or like if he kind of in his head knows like she's not the one, but he's not saying it, like, because I'm actually not sure. He might be an interesting case because he is in the military, but it seems like he joined later, which is not like the standard military way
I think he's trying
things.
I think we've talked about this on You Up also, is that for guys, a lot of the time they want to be like secure in their careers before they feel like they can settle down, and before they feel like they're like ready to like do like for women it's almost like the opposite, like they want to feel like settled in their relationship first, but for men they want to feel like they're on the right track career wise before they feel like they can settle down. So I think for him it doesn't necessarily have to do with you that he's like, I'm happy where we are right now. He's probably like, I need to figure out, because he joined the military a little later, so he's clearly like not totally sure of his like exact career path. For him, he's probably like, I want to make sure like this is what I want to do, or I want, maybe he doesn't even want to be in the military, like maybe he wants to do something else. So for him those benefits might not even be that helpful. He's probably like, I want to figure out where I'm going with my life and what I'm doing and who I want to be before I'm ready to decide who I want to be with forever, which I don't think is like a negative thing towards you. I think that's just like you're young and you're finding yourself.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah, I think it's hard for us to understand how men need this like stable identity before they can settle down, because right. we feel like the man is part of the stable identity right. that we're creating. We're like, no, we need you to be in our thing,
right? It's but like, for men they're like, I can't, like I need to figure out, I need to be like totally secure with where I am,
and then I can include you
on the career, because again, like men compete with each other much more about like career and finance stuff, whereas women I feel like compete more about relationships.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure this girl understands that is just another aspect of our ass backward society, as she says.
Exactly.
So good luck. I like her, she seems pretty down to earth based on like a few things she said. Should we play some games?
Let's play some games.
Okay, would you rather work for 10 months from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and then do nothing for 2 months, or work for 3 hours a day all year round? I'm a three hours a day
all year round.
Yeah, three hours of work is like a great
it's
amount.
The perfect amount of time to work every day.
I would even work on the weekends for 3 hours a day.
I'd rather work 7 days a week, 3 hours a day.
Me too, because you feel productive for those 3 hours. Right. It gives you a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. Instead
maybe
like
6 days a week.
Fine, 6 days.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think humans were meant to work like 9 hour days for like 5 days. I don't think that that's efficient. Even I think you could probably do 3 hours of better work than 9 hours of like decent put in your time work.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, good. Glad we're on the same page about that one. Would you rather only be able to take baths for the rest of your life, or have to use your fingers instead of a brush for the rest of your life? A hairbrush. And a toothbrush, both.
Ew. Can I get Magic Sleek to
no.
make my hair straighter?
With your natural Jewish curly hair like I have as
okay,
well.
Okay, then I would have to be going with the baths. Do I get a clean bath? Can I get like a hotel bath?
It's wherever you're going. It's just like that's the option for you. It's just a bath. So what, it's like your apartment or it's...
Okay, I would probably do the bath. Baths.
Yeah. I think I might do the toothbrushing thing is kind of tough because I don't feel like you could get a deep.
You're
going to
brush your hair through your fingers every.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
Yeah, I forgot what my hair looked like before Magic Sleek.
Right. It's okay. First of all,
this is not sponsored.
Yeah, it's not. No, here's the thing. I get it. If you could brush it like every once in a while, that way you get it like a good brush,
right.
And then you can maintain
fingers.
It.
Yeah, you're
right. But this is like the only thing.
I actually kind of like baths too. They're relaxing.
Yeah, but sometimes like they're a little gross.
And sometimes I'm like, I just need to like
shower
over with. And like the bath is like a longer experience. I feel that. Okay, yeah. I agree.
Like how would I take a bath at the gym?
That's it. You just go to the, you just sit in the shower.
But it doesn't fill.
I'm just grossed out by that.
Yeah.
All right. And on the note of good hair, would you rather have perfect hair or perfect skin?
Can I get Magic Sleek?
It's your ideal hair.
Okay. Perfect hair.
I already have perfect skin. No, I'm kidding. I don't. But
I have skin that I'm happy. I'm happy with my skin.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm fine.
Yeah. Perfect hair. Hair is like, I don't know.
Perfect hair.
Perfect skin is nice too, though.
Perfect skin is nice. But here's the thing. I obviously don't have perfect skin, mm-hmm. but I'm happy
You're
with
happy
my
with
skin.
Skin.
Even if it was slightly worse, I'd still
You're right.
be.
Yeah,
fine
I struggled
with, it
with
enough.
Hair,
but hair I genuinely. Right.
It's probably
with.
Because we've struggled more with it too. Like if you had always perfect hair and you struggled with your skin, you'd probably be like perfect skin.
Right. Well, if I had cystic acne,
right that's
I would
what I'm
feel
saying. But you had amazing hair, you'd probably feel that way. All right, that's our show. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Email us at DST. I'm sorry, this is DST. Email us at slapped@betches.com, and remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Give us 5 stars.
Thanks so much.
Bye.